To man, the world is twofold, in accordance with his twofold attitude. The attitude of... Blah. To man, the world is twofold, in accordance with his twofold attitude. The attitude of man is twofold in accordance with the twofold nature of the primary words which he speaks. The primary words are not isolated words, but combined words. The one primary word is the combination I-thou. The other primary word is the combination I-it, wherein without a change in the primary word, one of the words he and she can replace it. Hence the I of man is also twofold. For the I of the primary word, I thou, is a different I from that of the primary word, I it. Primary words do not signify things, but they intimate relations. Primary words do not describe something that might exist independently of them, but being spoken, they bring about existence. Primary words are spoken from the being. If thou is said, the I of the combination I-thou is said along with it. If it is said, the I of the combination I-it is said along with it. The primary word I-thou can only be spoken with the whole being. The primary word I-it can never be spoken with the whole being. There is no I taken in itself, but only the I of the primary word, I thou, and the I of the primary word, I it. When a man says I, he refers to one or other of these. The I to which he refers is present when he says I. Further, when he says thou or it, the I of one of the two primary words is present. The existence of I and the speaking of I are one and the same thing. When a primary word is spoken, the speaker enters the word and takes his stand in it. The life of human beings is not passed in the sphere of transitive verbs alone. It does not exist in virtue of activities alone, which have some thing for their object. I perceive something. I am sensible of something. I imagine something. I will something. I feel something. I think something. The life of human beings does not consist of all this and the like alone. This and the like together establish the realm of it. But the realm of thou has a different basis. When thou is spoken, the speaker has no thing for his object. For where there is a thing, there is another thing. Every it is bounded by others. It exists only through being bounded by others. But when thou is spoken, there is no thing. Thou has no bounds. When thou is spoken, the speaker has no thing. He has indeed nothing, but he takes his stand in relation. It is said that man experiences his world. What does that mean? Man travels over the surface of things and experiences them. He extracts knowledge about their constitution from them. He wins an experience from them. He experiences what belongs to the things. But the world is not presented to man by experiences alone. These present him only with a world composed of it and he and she and it again. I experience something. If we add inner to outer experiences, Nothing in the situation has changed. We are merely following the uneternal division that springs from the lust of the human race to whittle away the secret of death. Inner things or outer things, what are they but things and things? I experience something. If we add secret to open experiences, nothing in the situation is changed. How self-confident is that wisdom which perceives a closed compartment in things, reserved for the initiate and manipulated only with the key? O secrecy without a secret, O accumulation of information, it always, it. The man who experiences has no part in the world, for it is in him and not between him and the world that the experiences arises. The world has no part in the experience. It permits itself to be experienced, but has no concern in the matter, for it does nothing to the experience, and the experience does nothing to it. As experience, the world belongs to the primary world, word I it. The primary word I thou establishes the world of relation. The spheres in which the world of relation arises are three. First, our life with nature. There the relation sways in gloom beneath the level of speech. Creatures live and move over against us, but cannot come to us, and when we address them as thou, our words cling to the threshold of speech. Second, our life with men. There the relation is open and in the form of speech. We can give and accept the thou. Third, our life with intelligible forms. There the relation is clouded. Yet it discloses itself. It does not use speech yet begets it. We perceive no thou, but nonetheless we feel we are addressed. And we answer, forming, thinking, acting. We speak the primary word with our being, though we cannot utter thou with our lips. But with what right do we draw what lies outside speech into relation with the world of the primary word? In every sphere, in its own way, through every process of becoming that is present to us, we look out toward the fringe of the eternal thou. In each we are aware of a breath from the eternal thou. In each thou we address the eternal thou.